Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of the Freedom Filled Life podcast. I'm your host, Shay Brown, co-founder of The Bucket Bombshells, where we serve women who are building, growing, and scaling a service-based online business. And I'm sitting down with Alicia, who has done all three of those things through the products and services that Buckless Bombshells, Cassie, and myself have offered, which has been really exciting to be Alicia's mentor on that journey from building, growing, and now scaling. So Alicia comes to us as a former Buckless Bombshells Academy student, as well as one of our members of our Scale with Purpose Mastermind. And she actually just joined us for our second round. So I'm really excited. And if you want to join, applications are still open for our September cohort. So if you're interested in applying and learning more, head on over to bucketlistbombshells.com/mastermind. Now, Alicia recently hired her first team member, launched a recurring content membership for her clients, and is getting booked out like crazy, which is why I wanted to bring her onto the podcast so that she could really share with us what this journey looked like for her, how she accomplished these things, and to also help us better understand tips and tricks for transforming our website to better attract high-paying clientele. Alicia works with luxury brands, so we're really going to touch on that in today's episode. So without further ado, let's dive into it. And Alicia, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. It feels truly full circle being on your podcast right now.
I love that. I feel like I hear that from so many of our guests who are former students. I love a good full circle moment. One of our guests that we had on recently had actually found us from listening to us on a podcast episode. And so it really was a full circle moment.
Wow, it is. Yeah, definitely. I can relate.
I love that. So before we dive into your full story, can you just share with us and our audience about the business that you own and the services that you offer?
Absolutely. So I own a boutique brand and website design business called Esco Creative Design. We specialize in creating captivating branding and website designs that help our clients stand out in their industry and really just attract a higher paying clientele for them specifically.
Mm-hmm. So you're working with luxury brands who are also working with high ticket offers and clientele?
Yes. So So my focus is really to help them attract a higher paying clientele. Yeah. And by doing that, of course, you have to kind of be that and build that trust with them too.
Yeah, I love that sort of inception and that meta. Yeah. I love it. So let's rewind a little bit. I know our audience members love to know how people got started. Kind of what were you doing before you started your business and what led you into creating your first business?
Yes. So I kind of going back in the day, I always assumed that one day I would start my own business, but finding the business that I'm in was not even a thought. Like, definitely finding this passion was accidental. It was really divine alignment when I look back now. But I actually worked in the luxury beauty industry for over 10 years. I led a team of makeup artists for about 5 of those 10 years during that span. And my job there was to stay on brand, so stay true to the brand and attract our ideal clients and create beauty and art just more on clients' faces versus like their business. So it kind of transitioned into this, but how it transitioned into this was that I wanted a career change. I'd always dreamed of being remote and I wanted it to allow me time for location freedom that I craved so that I can kind of travel the world and do my own thing and pick and choose where or what I wanted to do. But the first thing I did was actually dove into the e-commerce world. So I started my own online business. I started a Shopify site. And after I did that, I quickly realized that what I like to do is start brands. Like I like to build the art, build the design. I like to create that foundational strategy. Like that's definitely what set me on fire. So what I found myself doing, I just kept creating new businesses. I became a serial entrepreneur and just kept doing it. And really fast forward to when I found you and Cassie in the Bucketless Bombshell, you guys introduced me to this entire world that now is my full-time life and absolute dream.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. So you started in Shopify in a bunch of different areas. And then you went full time or transitioned into just doing branding now, correct? That's what you have.
I do brand and website design. So I still do website design and I still do Shopify. Shopify was my first love, but I also create website designs in Squarespace. That is now my second love, which I love just as much.
Amazing. I love that. And I'm curious, how has your business evolved and grown over time? I know I've got to witness the past 6 months of really tremendous growth within your business. So I am curious how you see your business has evolved and grown.
Oh my gosh, I am truly so grateful every single day with what my business has evolved into. In the beginning, I had the privilege to work with a couple of smaller influencers, and that was just me organically reaching out. And it really helped put me kind of a referral system in the works. And this year has been the largest growth year that I've ever had. Every year it kind of scales up and up and up, but this year has been, it's just been amazing. And I really do, I put all of that on the mastermind. Having that support from you and Cassie has just helped me really funnel and grow my business, coming up with all of these new adventures that help me scale. I'm a pure generator in human design. So I don't know if you're familiar with that or anyone listening, but what I'm really good at being robotic and going and being a creative. I love going in the creative field, the creative side of things. But having that strategy and those fundamentals put in place to grow a team, to start a membership, to do all of these things that help me in the long run has just been an absolute game changer. And even just this month alone, focusing on that, I have signed some of my largest projects to date, which again, just leveled up my business even more.
I love that. I love that you're a generator. I didn't know that. I'm a projector, which makes me a great leader and guide. So I love that.
You're amazing.
Oh my gosh, thank you. But yeah, generators are so fun. Some of my favorite people. But yeah, sometimes you just need a little bit of guidance on how to harness that energy. And I love working with you because as soon as I see that click for you, like an idea or something, you go and do it. So you're an implementer. Whereas I'm not so much of a quick start. Really, like I have to percolate on something for a long time and really like lean into it and make sure it's, you know, I get caught up in perfection and I just see you generating, just going out, doing the thing, and then kind of working through the kinks as it comes up. And I love seeing that. I love seeing that. So I think that has contributed so much to your growth.
Little worker bee over here.
So getting into today's topic, I know that you're going to share with our audience how they can transform their website to attract high paying clients, which is really what you're doing for your clients. But before we get into that, I'd love for you to talk about your target audience. So my question to you is that I know that you work with luxury clients, and I'm curious if you can share more with our audience how you've gone about finding and landing luxury clients for your website design business.
Absolutely. So really in short, like my passion is helping clients recognize their worth. And luxury to me isn't always those like bougie brands. It is true high quality, high status experience that really gives someone that trust and that comfort. And that's what I think that's just the portion of my business that's my favorite is just really nurturing my clients. But my clients come to me with a goal of building a brand that turns them into attracting their higher price point clients. So really, you know, going to the beginning in order to attract those clients who trust me with the knowledge of doing that, I really have to look the part. And that's what I always suggest other clients or, you know, anyone, even my clients. So this means before I can even begin attracting those clients, I really need to refine my brand that speaks best to them. So it's like all about those tiny details and the experience that I offer. And what we really cover is like true psychology. It's so much fun. It just lights me on fire. I love it. but what it is, once you reflect that quality, then you can begin to attract and really like repel clients. So I say repelling because that is something that you really want to focus on as well. It's not only about like, who are you trying to attract, but in that process, you'll also find who you really don't want to work with, or maybe what your style might be that doesn't really light you up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So attracting who you want to work with is just important as who you don't. And the key is really knowing the who and who you want to attract. So when I began marketing my brand, I created two avatars. So two, because your business will probably have more than one. I mean, you know, just as a creative, like there's a couple of different people that I do want to work with. And I really went through and asked myself some key questions, really dove deep, really embodied both of those people so that I can figure out who it is that I'm trying to speak to, create my website based on that. But not only that, know where to go to market too, because there's, I mean, even if I were to use one marketing tactic, like going into a Facebook group and just kind of offering value and, you know, mingling and chatting and getting to know people, where there's so many, I mean, there's probably millions at this point. So where are those people? Where are my avatars hanging out? And those questions will really help kind of dive into who it is that I'm trying to speak to.
Mm-hmm. And are you finding these, say, higher paying clients, higher clientele in Facebook groups on Facebook? I know that it's such a strategy that is something that does work well for people, but I'm curious, are these higher, I would assume a higher clientele is like kind of that, I'm thinking of like, you know, Selling Sunset vibes. Like, I don't watch that show. I just have seen enough memes to know what that is. So I'm curious, is it like that, or like, or where are you really seeing these high paying clients or luxury clients, so to speak, kind of hanging out in your world?
Yeah. So I think it has to do with like the big picture. So Facebook groups are amazing. And when you kind of figure out who you want to speak to, you'll know better where to join and where to give value to those groups, which I do all the time. I love doing that. It helps get to know a lot of people. It helps to, you know, really set you apart in those Facebook groups. But finding those right ones are key. Not only that, it really helps you hone in on where your clients hang out, even if that's on social media, if maybe your clientele is more apt to hang out in LinkedIn, and really kind of nurture those platforms. It helps you set up even what hashtags to use. If you were to, you know, speak on Instagram, what hashtags maybe your ideal client is searching for, on top of how to set up the language on your website, what tags to use on the back end of your SEO on your website. So if your luxury client, maybe, you know, you have a e-commerce brand that sells higher paying organic products, that's going to be a lot different. Those searching keywords that your clients are searching for are going to be a lot different than someone who may be a luxury real estate agent, you know, like Selling Sunset. And on the Sunset's probably not going to start Googling organic, like Lily Life, but they're not going to be searching for the same thing as maybe those organic natural brands that are on a higher price point.
And how are we doing this on our site to, say, attract real estate agents in this, let's say, this example you're using, the real estate people and the organic food companies that we want to work with? And you mentioned stuff on the back end. Are you producing blog posts with SEO-rich content for these different types, I guess, of subsets of a luxury brand audience?
Yeah, so that's really important. So whenever, it all starts from the beginning too. So and that doesn't mean you can't visit your current website and get these tweaks updated on your site, but just kind of pivoting and going into the SEO world, having, I mean, it's the tedious little tiny details. So when you upload a photo, make sure you use those specific keywords that you've done your research on for your ideal clientele. You know where they hang out, you know what they'd be searching for related to your business. So then pop in and do those details from the back end of your site to make sure all of your pages are titled correctly with those rich keywords. Don't use them too repetitively, because Google's smart. They know when they're searching, if every single page title is exactly the same, then there's not a lot of organic kind of information that you're providing. And really, when you kind of look at that big picture, that's what SEO is. It's where do you best rank providing the information that you're giving out. So to your point, blog posts are absolutely incredible for that. They're search engine based. So whenever you're constantly posting blog posts on your site that are related to those rich keywords that maybe you did the research on for your avatar, those are really going to help drive you up in the rankings, show up when someone's Googling those keywords or whatever it might be. The small things, like I started to mention before, like uploading images, I see that a lot on website redesigns that I do for clients when they're pivoting from, you know, a DIY website usually to something where they can look more professional, best attract a higher paying client. All of their images on their site are the first ones that have to go because we need to upload those images again and remove that IMG underscore 682 and add those rich keywords. You know what I'm talking about?
Like, oh, yeah.
I feel like every image has them in the beginning, but adding those rich keywords, those alt text that really make your website, make your hashtags work for you.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that extra insight there. And kind of going back to, we were talking about target audience. I'm curious, in your opinion, what is the difference between a high paying client and a budget conscious client or other types of clients?
Absolutely. So when I think of a high budget client, those are the clients who are really looking to level up either their brand or start a brand that's leveled up. They're ready to invest. And it all depends on their values too. So if their values, and this is, again, why it really depends on those questions you ask yourself about your avatar. If, and I think one of the most important questions is, what are their values? If their values are, oh, you know, fast turnaround, they like it quick, they like it speedy, they don't really mind a lot of strategy, they have an abundance of time, that might be something that goes into maybe a template-based business, something not so custom. Their experience they're looking for may not be something on the luxury end, whereas someone on the luxury end really, really values strategy. They may not have a lot of time to give, but they're ready to invest in something that's custom so that they really get the investment back on their value.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think we all have, in our journeys, seen as we get started, you know, we're taking anybody and everybody in that budget conscious client, which is great to work with. And like you said, I love that you mentioned serving them in a different way, serving them with templates or serving them as you want to grow into high ticket offers or working with higher paying clients. I love that you're not missing that low hanging fruit and you're still serving the budget conscious members or audience members. So that was just awesome advice there. Thank you, Alicia.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I know as your business coach that you recently launched a recurring content membership site for your current clients. And I think this is such a great add-on service for your offer ladder, especially just coming off of talking about, you know, what are the different things that we can serve, the different types of audiences we have. So my question for you is that I would love for you to share with those in our audience who are website designers, they're possibly maxed out on their capacity, they're not looking to start an agency model. So what does this membership service look like? And who are you serving? And what are the benefits that you're providing?
So kind of going back to my topic about experience is everything. This has truly leveled up the experience for my clients, which makes me so happy. But it's something that really I found myself consistently working with the same clients over and over again, which I love. My clients are always coming back. The experience is good, which makes me happy. But I was getting maxed out on constantly finding new clients and working with the same clients over and over again. So what we created was the SEO Design Club, which is a monthly subscription-based website management service. The membership includes 2 hours of design, website design hours. And it also, and that those are kind of at the request of the client. So some months they may not need the full 2 hours, but so far it's been live for about a month now. And they've already put in their requests and it's been great. And they've just had nothing but positive experience with it. They also get a Canva graphic bundle that releases every month. So clients have access to a design bundle that I've created for them, with them in mind, at least. But they can easily edit it for their brand. So it feels like we're constantly working together and it's still high touch, but at a certain level of hours that allows me time, but still it accumulates. These clients are coming in, they're signing up for my membership. We constantly get to work together. Their experience is still high and positive, but it's leaving me not having to think about a certain amount of income every month because that's guaranteed every month, which is it's just been amazing.
I love that. And these are for your current clients, correct? I mean, I know that we've been working together on this. but this isn't something you're publicly offering. It's just for people who have worked with you in the past, right?
That's correct. Yeah. And yeah. It's been interesting, even just bringing on new clients, I found myself pitching that in the beginning before I even bring them on. So it's something that is really looked at, and I've gained feedback over new client calls that that's the reason why they've decided to go with me, because of my membership service that I offer after our time together is complete with their custom branding and website.
I love that, because your audience, like you were saying, they're the high paying clients, are the ones that value their time over money in that sense. So they want that ongoing work. They want to know that after they work with you, they're not just high and dry left on their own, or have to train a VA or have to train someone to keep doing it. And I think that's why it's working so well in your pitch, even now in the beginning, because it's really, they're saying, wow, she's going to A, design me this brand refresh that I want, or this new brand, this new business. And then B, she's got my back for ongoing work at a really great, just recurring price. Like, it's no brainer for them. It's a no brainer for you on your end. And I just love that. And I think it's actually going to really allow that scalability within your business so that you can free up your time. Because eventually you can hire a junior designer to take over a lot of the aspects you're even doing in there and still provide that high level service, because we're going to hire you a great team member for that at some point. I love that. So I'm curious, how has this additional service offering benefited like you and your business model? I mean, I just gave my perspective on it, but I'd love to hear from you. How has it benefited you and your business?
Truly, our view is exactly the same. So, you know, I'm able to give my clients that additional support. I've always given them support in the manner of whenever our time together is complete, so they launch a website design with me, they always receive a personalized tutorial on how to update those basics. But there really is nothing like that one-on-one comfort of support, knowing that if something were to go wrong on their website, or they need to up their service ladder, then they can reach out to me in the design club and request those edits. They're guaranteed to get them in that month within a certain time period. Mm-hmm. And then for me, it allows me the comfort of laying back, knowing that I have that subscription coming in as far as an extra revenue stream. It allows me to know that my clients aren't out there, you know, having to search on their own. I know that their websites are staying up to date. They look beautiful, you know. They're
yeah, no one's messing with your branding.
Absolutely. They're still on brand. No one's struggling. So I'm able to really further provide that experience. And like you said, later on, I'll have a junior designer that can help me upkeep that and just continue to scale.
I love that. I'm really excited. It was like super fun. I know that came out of the retreat that we did, the group retreat that we had, and we talked about recurring revenue models, and to see it come to life only 2 or 3 months later has been so fun, and it's been received so well by your clients. So I'm just really proud of you for launching that.
Yes. And I'm launching tier two. I've had requests for even more hours a month for like larger website clients. So I'm already growing it even just after this little bit of time.
I love that. And you know, Cass and I are huge fans of what we like to call three-tier pricing. And then in this model and the recurring model, it's amazing because you just add a couple extra things that are obviously, of course, of value. And then for those people who, again, they want more access to you, or they want more content from you, it doesn't take that much work on your end, but it's going to increase the amount of recurring revenue you're going to receive. And I think that's great. And again, you just keep saying yes to your clients. Like I said before, you just say yes, and then you go do it. I'm over here like, I'm like, I got to think through everything. And I love that mentality. You're just like, yeah, I'll do that for you. Like, let me get it set up. Let me do this. And I think it's going to be so great. I can't wait to see all the tiers come to life.
Yes, it's exciting. So much growth.
Amazing. So let's get into one of the main items of discussion that I wanted to kind of pick your brain on today. So I know that you're very experienced at attracting like that high paying type of client we've been talking about. And I was hoping that you could share with our audience today your 5 strategies for transforming a website to really cater to this higher paying clientele. I know that you have 5, but if you want to go into more, I would love that too. So just share with us, like, what are your go-to strategies for website design?
Absolutely. So truly the first thing, well, there's top 5 things that I do look at whenever I either A, am taking on a new client or redesigning a client's website. honestly, your SEO can be on point, but if you're not keeping visitors who trust you on your website that reflect mm-hmm. their worth, that they trust that you're able to reflect their worth, then all of that marketing really just turns into a whole lot of nothing. So like mentioned before, it is all about those small details. Having your website look DIY will only attract visitors who maybe think that they can afford that, and that's mm-hmm. all. So the number one thing I look at first, and I can always tell if a site hasn't been professionally done or maybe it's not at its best, is starting with the spacing. And I feel like this isn't talked about enough. I feel like it's not talked about enough, but I think a large one that really gets overlooked is spacing on a website. Mm-hmm. So if you take a look at your current site, is the spacing above and below sections even? So I see that a lot, where there's mm-hmm. a nice, beautiful section that you could tell they put a lot of hard work into, but the top spacing is completely different from the bottom, and it just psychologically looks off. You may not mm-hmm. notice it. Psychologically, your brain is noticing it, I promise. So is, you know, the spacing around your images, is that even? Is the title and the body font, is the space above and below that even? Is the space above your buttons and call to actions even? So, you know, having a well-balanced website is really, really psychologically pivoting when it comes to looking professional and looking the part. It's kind of like, it really is a difference. You think of different stores, and I know they're not websites, but I think of the way I feel whenever I go into, I love them. Don't get me wrong. I love like Marshalls and TJ Maxx. I'm in Texas, so that's what we have here. I don't know if they have those in Canada, but
I don't know. But Cass took me to a TJ Maxx for the first time, I think like last year or something. And I was like mind blown at the deals I got on brand.
Yeah, it's amazing. I go there when I want a deal. I do. And sometimes I know I find some of the best stuff. But, and I do love them. But as far as experience goes, you have to really think of a luxury.
It's chaotic.
Yeah. And some are worse than others. But when you think of experience, like what kind of experience are you giving your client? Like, are you giving them crowded racks? Are you giving them shoulder to shoulder shoppers, you know? Can they breathe when they come into your store, your home, versus kind of the feeling that you get when you walk into like Anina Bing or Isabel Marant, where everything's clean. It's feels a little bit kind of that mid-luxury level where things you trust that they can give their expert advice. You trust that the outfit, maybe in my world, my style, the outfit that I'm looking for, they're probably going to have, you know, and I don't have to crowd and like search those racks. So it really is kind of just thinking of, yes, it's beautiful, but how does it feel emotionally? How does it feel, you know, psychologically? So long story short, spacing, I feel like, is something that really can make or break the overall professional look of your site. And I feel like it gets looked over a lot. My second tip is imagery. So I'm such an advocate for getting professional photos taken. Truly, it took me a while to get a professional photo shoot done just for my brand. But even if you have DIY photos, make sure that those photos are high quality. They look really crisp, really clear. I think something that a lot of times gets overlooked is the consistency in the photo editing. So even if you're pulling stock images into your site, that's okay. Maybe group them from a certain photographer or a certain collection so that your overall site is in line with your brand, but they all look the same. They all look consistent. That's number two thing that I see a lot of mistakes being made when it comes to either A, not having professional photos done, or B, choosing all different types and flavors of stock imagery. A photographer is trained and has the experience in those little details to really help you level up your brand and reflect what type of investment that you're trying to portray. And I feel like if you don't invest in that, invest in yourself, then it really shows the part on someone who is about to spend a certain price point with you that maybe you didn't invest in yourself. Where they invest in you, make sure you invest in yourself. No professional photos, I feel like, really help to level your brand up.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. From when we were just starting to teach inside of our courses and when we would start to see some of our first handful of students really creating websites, we ended up having to include a whole lesson on basically figuring getting good photos. and making and the importance of it, and also looking at the camera versus I see constantly just photos of people looking away or looking, and there's no connection or like from behind them or something, or them working, or they're just their hands. And like you said, stock photos are fine, or those kind of shots are fine. But one of the biggest things I notice is like, if you want to connect with someone, like look at the camera and connect with those people across the screen anyways, because it's, you're not in a store. So I think, yeah, that's great. But please continue.
Absolutely. I agree. It definitely helps to build trust for sure. My third tip is brand consistency. This should be number one, but truly this is, it's such a big one. They're all big, but this one's definitely one of my most talked about is brand consistency. And when I say brand, a brand really has to do with a lot of small parts, but focusing on your fonts and color palette. And if you have logos, your logo. So are you using those consistently throughout all of your platforms the same? Mm-hmm. Are your fonts the same? Or, you know, is your color palette consistent? I feel like that is the number one struggle when it comes to clients that come to me for branding. They struggle with whenever they're even just posting something on Instagram or they're playing around in Canva, trying to create something for themselves. They use so many different fonts. They're never the same. The colors are kind of sporadic. So when you take a step back and look at the overall picture of whatever platform it might be, whether it be their social media account or their website, it can tend to look very messy. And it looks, again, like you didn't invest in yourself. So building that trust for a higher paying client to invest in you can sometimes kind of deter them.
Yeah, so true. So interesting.
Yeah, that's a big one for me. Coming from a brand designer, that's a big one. And I first thing I always notice with businesses. And another thing I feel like I'm always shockingly surprised about is the mobile optimization of a lot of websites.
For really?
Like higher paying like luxury clients. Absolutely.
Wow. So I assumed it was like everybody designed for mobile was, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. That was the number one thing. It was designed for mobile, designed for mobile. So it's really surprising that you're still seeing people not designed for mobile.
All the time. I'm always like, how's your site hanging out on mobile? So a quick way to lose trust truly is having a business that their mobile site is not functioning properly. And I'm truly always surprised at how common it is. You know, recently I wanted to book a float tank experience. It was my first time. I'd never done that before. Crazy day. I was like, you know what? I'm going to pop over to this luxury spa they're wanting to go to near me. And I tried to book on their website. Their place is beautiful. Their branding is gorgeous. You can tell they invested a little bit here and there, but a lot of it was DIY. But the overall experience and their price point was higher, you know, which I wanted to invest in that for myself. So I was okay with it. But I had the hardest time booking on their mobile site.
Wow.
I could not, like some of the buttons were overlapping the text. Some of their calendar, I couldn't click on the dates to book. So it was very not user-friendly. So I feel like one of the top five, but one of the most important is definitely making sure to check out your website on mobile.
Mm-hmm. When we made the switch over to Show It, one of the things that I really like about Show It, it does add an extra layer of work, but it's instead of it being, I can't remember what the term is when it's like kind of auto mobile optimized template, like Divi and stuff like that, auto mobile optimized. It was that you designed the mobile completely separate from the desktop. So you can look at them side by side and the elements overlap. Like, you know, you don't have to recreate every element, but then on mobile I can move it anywhere I want
and it'll
show up.
Yeah.
It's like I was like, whoa, like at first even I can change the same piece of text, like paragraph text can be like 6 points font on desktop, and then I can make it like 12 point font on mobile. Not that I would do that. I don't know if that's a fixable, but like I was just thinking, I was like, that's going to be a really small font, but it's mind blowing that the text can be completely different. The imagery can be completely different. Colors can be different.
Yes.
And it takes a lot of extra work, I will say, to, you know, whether it's me or a team member doing it, you know, we have to, when we design a page, you technically are basically designing a full desktop page and a full mobile page, but that customization has been amazing. just for, I'm a big ShowIt fan. I know you're on Squarespace and they have some great, I think, auto mobile optimizing as well, but I just can't speak highly enough of just being able to design for just mobile.
It's so worth it. You said it's extra work, you know, but it's so worth it. We're talking, you know, if someone built their trust with you and invest in you versus not, because that day I didn't book my spa treatment.
Oh, yeah. If it can't book online, it's frustrating. So why would I pay this higher fee? Or it just ruined the experience between like you came in, you were like, I love this branding. I love the feel of this. It looks like a high end spa. Okay, let me book. And it just, I think probably, which it did, you didn't end up booking with them. It really took away from the experience. You should pitch that. You should say, hey,
I know, exactly. That's why you're my coach.
Yes, I'm like, listen, get me their number. We're going to pitch that.
Yes. And that's so true. Like, you know, ShowIt is incredible. They have some amazing, amazing thing. I'm actually going through a ShowIt training, just kind of learning the platform a little bit more. I used to design in WordPress. Squarespace might have kind of saw what ShowIt was doing, and about maybe 6 months to 7 months ago, they incorporated that same feature where you have a separate device to optimize for mobile, which all of my years of learning custom CSS are now useless when it comes to certain items in Squarespace because they've leveled up so much, but they do offer that too. And it was such a game changer.
That custom CSS was something I learned really early on. I found it fascinating and learning it, but it's so funny when a platform updates and then your custom CSS doesn't work because either they did, so this happened to me in our payment processing system. We use Spiffy Cart, and they updated amazing updates. They added all these new features, things I'd wanted for a while. And I went into my checkout pages and everything was just like, not like everything was messed up. And I was like, what happened? And they were like, oh, like your code is basically what we implemented. So now it's just a click of a button instead of me having basically coded everything too. Cause Cass and I are very particular and we code, and when we can, we code the visual side. Cause like you're talking about, the brand is so important. It's something that obviously Cass is very skilled at. And so when we use platforms, we use custom code so much, so that we can have that same consistency across our whole funnel from our website to our checkout to our course site. And it was so funny because I was just laughing. So I was like, I coded all of those things that now you're offering. And I'm like, thank you. I love it. It makes my job. It's like so much easier. But I did have to go through and kind of clean up things. And I was just always laughing because I've been doing that since I started out as a website designer. And I love the custom CSS, but these platforms are stepping up. They're making things like real easy for everybody. So if you want to be able to become a website designer, very easily you can do that now on these platforms without knowing CSS.
Exactly. Whenever they updated and brought in the new Fluid Engine, it minimized my need for custom coding on the visual side. I mean, truly probably by 50%. So it's amazing.
Yeah. So getting back into, I'm not sure if we hit five yet. I got a little lost in our conversation.
I do have one more. So
okay, great.
A lot of times, especially for service-based businesses, when I land on their sites or whenever I have clients come in, the one thing that I do have to get so much clarity on is kind of their next step experience, like what their process is. How do you book with them? How do you work with them? And, you know, it can get really fun with the kind of like copy and the language that you get creative with. But if you're not clear and precise on what the next steps in working with you are, it can look messy. It can be so confusing, and it can kind of reduce trust because it creates this low kind of engagement. I mean, attention spans are so low now. There's so many other providers that are in the same industry. So the slightest bit of confusion, always, if it slips in, then you probably already lost that client before they booked. You know, I just recently had this experience with, I know we've talked about getting our color analysis done so many times, and I still want to get that done. And I know. Yeah. And so there's a certain brand that does that that I really want to work with, but their process of, they're very like high end. You can tell they know their stuff. They're professionals. And this one thing is the reason why I haven't booked with them yet, because it is so difficult to figure out what the next steps are. And the only payment method that they take is PayPal. So you're not able to physically book with them, you're not able to like even complete a form and let them know, hey, I want to book with you, or I want to choose a date or whatever it might be. They're just like, pay me through PayPal and then you'll hear from us later. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, there's that trust factor. I'm like, absolutely. I want to invest in this, but the trust factor has kind of gotten confusing. You know, it is. So having a really clear process really helps with leveling up your experience, which again, experience is everything when it comes to higher paying clients.
And on your website, you're basically outlining exactly those steps. When someone comes to your site and they say, they're like, I want to work with Alicia, they are able to then see, okay, here's the next step. And then they also are able to see kind of the next 4 or 3 steps, right? I think I've seen on your page, it's like, here's step one, and then step two, step three, step four, right?
Right. Yeah. So even that way is beautiful because it really lays it out. And, you know, a lot of clients, they get nervous about having too much copy on their site or, you know, whatever it might be. But truly, if that's what it takes for clarity, I think clarity is the number one process.
Yeah. I love a good step. Yeah. I love seeing, like, yes, tell me the next step. Like you're saying, okay, if I don't want to pay, I want to know, can I apply? Can I speak to someone? But then I also kind of want to know, what are the next 3 steps? And so as a website designer, I would always say, you know, you fill out the questionnaire, we book a consultation call. Once you sign the contract, I get your copy, I start designing, you get reveals. Like I literally, and yeah, it did look kind of like a long, so to speak, process, but I did want to attract clients that like that, because I'm such an organized person and I had such a step-by-step process. I'd rather attract someone who appreciates that and is looking for that in a website designer. And then also it's just kind of like full transparency on the other side of what am I getting myself into when that, because website design is a big investment or can be for these higher paying clients. So I love that. I think that's a great piece of advice to have that on your site.
And your avatar, your values, if I were to like make that questionnaire for you, would probably be organization and transparency.
There you go.
So I would set my website and my copy down to reflect that.
Yes, because the last time I worked with a website designer, which was a while ago, and she had exactly like that. It was like set up with like, here's what you do. Here's, because it was kind of like a website and a weekend, and we were doing just a smaller project. And now everything that on our site is fully designed by Cass, but we were working on a project with her. And what I liked was, because I just started to see this sort of website in a weekend, which I think is an absolutely awesome offer to offer. Oh, like, I know we've talked about that. I know there's other women in our mastermind in the website design space. And I'm like, yes, VIP days, like, trust me.
Yeah. I know that now and I love it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I saw it and it was all laid out because it was such a quick turnaround time. I was like kind of nervous. I was like, okay, like, what does this look like? And there was a whole section on the site that basically just explained what a website in a weekend is and, you know, what the expectations are and the turnaround times and kind of the flows and processes. And so it just really helped me even understand what that would look like before even booking a call or before even, you know, committing. And then knowing like, yes, that's what I wanted for that project, but it wouldn't be the right fit for, say, other things that I was doing. And I liked knowing that kind of upfront, like, what does that even look like? Yeah. Anyways, that was kind of off on a tangent there.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with all of that. Having those clear steps, either right there where you book, where the call to actions are, or even just a separate process page. That's what I have. And that works beautifully. Clarity is everything. And it definitely helps to build trust.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, those strategies for transforming a website were so helpful. I loved all of them. And I'm sure there was like people taking notes and lots of takeaways. And I think they apply to anybody in any kind of, you don't have to be a website designer, apply those strategies, any service-based business, any business really at all. And when trying to attract whoever you're trying to attract, those strategies will work so well across the board for any business. So I have a couple more questions for you, and I want to switch gears here a little bit. So I did touch on this at the beginning of the podcast about how you're growing your business, and I wanted to be able to share some of those insights with our audience. So I know that you've recently made your first hire, and when you came into our Scale with Purpose Mastermind program, you were so hesitant. You are so hesitant to take on a new hire. So I know as your coach that this experience has actually exceeded your expectations. And I'd love for you to share your experience with our listeners who may be feeling this hesitation to take on their first team member. Can you kind of take us from that, those feelings, to the results of what your first hire has allowed you to do within your capacity and your business?
Oh, gosh. Yes. In the beginning, it's so crazy because in the beginning, whenever I started my business, I could not wait to provide, you know, a remote life for someone. That was always mm-hmm. my dream. And I was literally working a perfect job that I would want to have, you know. So I couldn't believe how hesitant I got when I got busy because, like I've talked about this entire podcast, like experience is everything. So when it came to finding that right person, it was overwhelming knowing mm-hmm. where to go, where to start. Mm-hmm. So even just I was nervous about keeping my experience like high quality for my clients yeah. and all of the obvious what ifs of incorporating someone else to help me manage mm-hmm. that. And you, Cassie, helped me release that fear like pretty immediately. And then I dove into the hiring pool. And fast forward to today, I now have my first team member, Amanda. She's my assistant. And she has truly been such a lifesaver. I, like I said, I'm a generator. I'll just keep my head down, put my hood on and go, go, go. But I was missing out on so many of those like items that help you scale the business, the back end items that were on my to-do list that kept getting moved from week to week because my client experience was my number one, you know, value that I really wanted to focus on. So a lot of that was getting pushed to the side. And when she came in, just having a team to help support me and those tiny details that helped me focus on marketing, which I can now do. I can now focus on, other than client work, I can focus on my marketing, the items that actually help pivot and scale my business. My membership program would not mm-hmm. be where it is now if it wasn't for hiring. So I'm shocked that I'm like, okay, I'm ready to hire again.
I know I was laughing on one of our calls when you came in, your hot seat was like, okay, I think I'm ready to bring on another hire. And I think then you had this other vision for your team. And I was just laughing because I remember, and it was the thing that we really pushed you to do in the beginning, because it was such the obvious next step to allow you this capacity. You had an amazing and still have an amazing customer experience, because like you said, that's what you focused on. And I think when we get to that stage of being unclear on when to hire, it's really when you are working pretty much in the one area of your business that is your expertise, your bread and butter, the thing that, you know, whether that's the deliverables or the client experience or anything in between that. Like there's another member in our mastermind, and she's much more focused on her operations. She has a little agency, and her operations are so clean, so precise, and work and function so well, like a well-oiled machine, that maybe, you know, then she could focus on, we, you know, guided her and are helping her focus more on the PR, focus on marketing, focus on better lead generation. And so it's wherever we end up, I think, as entrepreneurs, our businesses become successful because we end up being really good at something in our business. And then we realize, we get a little nervous, you know, to shake that off. Like, is there going to be someone who can do it the same as me or as good as me or care about the business as much as I do? Because I had this fear around hiring. And it always blows my mind how we can go out, and as long as our hiring process is, you know, really strong and really solid, which is something that, you know, Cass and I helped you with there. And because we just absolutely love our hiring system. I'm so blessed with that, with the team members that I get. But then to see them be bought into my business, my mission, our vision, and then excel in their area of expertise, skills that I don't have, or ways of thinking, perspectives, personalities, generators versus projectors, you know, different Colbys. And that really, I remember that kind of moment when we were growing really fast, hiring a lot. And it was just so amazing to see these people bought in just as much as I was, and then giving them, like what you said, you wanted to give someone the same freedom and fulfillment in their career that you have. Like, I got to experience that as well. And that was really fulfilling and really awesome. But there is someone out there that can help you scale your business in the area of your business that is lacking attention right now. And I say that to our listeners, because I'm like, there's an area, and it can, and that's going to be like what you said, that's going to be that point. This is going to help you scale. And like, you've experienced that firsthand.
I definitely have. I cannot, and I've realized this in the past, Melissa, I got it. Yeah, I'll take on exactly. all of it. I can do it all and wear all yeah. hats. But truly, it is impossible to scale to a certain level, past a certain level, at least, by yourself. You know, there's only one of me, and I was at my capacity for sure. And getting to leverage on even just Amanda's talents alone is such a beautiful thing. She's so talented. She's so smart. And so I'm getting to leverage off of what she can help support the business. It's definitely now a we instead of just an I, and it just feels whole. And I cannot wait to continue to grow my team now. Hesitation is gone.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing your experience on that. Because I know, you know, I chat with people in that growth, in that precipice of they're just doing so much in their business. And it's amazing. They're having so much success. But that's that kind of tipping point for one area for scaling is definitely the opening up your capacity to do more within the visionary side of your business. And you need an integrator, or you need team members that support you in the areas that are kind of opposite to you. Those are my favorite first hires for anybody, is hire someone in the areas that are being unattended in your business, because that's not the area you want to hang out in. So find someone exactly. to do that. Yeah. Because it does get more, I don't know, not difficult, but interesting when you're hiring for someone to kind of replace the thing that you are an expertise at. So it'll be interesting when you bring on a junior designer, because that is your area. That's kind of, you know, your bread and butter, your expertise. And that is definitely going to grow you as a leader for sure, and push you outside your comfort zone from personal experience.
Yes, you and Cassie have definitely helped me transition from my little worker bee, you know, making things happen, to looking at my business as a leader, as a shareholder. That was something that I learned in the mastermind, was looking at it in that way. It really opens up an entirely new perspective and more of a growth perspective for sure.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so I just have one more question for you today, and it's one that I ask everybody who attends the podcast. How has starting your own business led to more freedom and fulfillment in your life?
Oh, I mean, there isn't an aspect of my life that hasn't been affected, truly. Starting my own business has changed my life, to say the least. As a designer, I am now able to literally design the exact life that I want to live and provide that for others. I mean, my assistant is traveling the US while working remote for ESCO. And that was just a dream that I couldn't even fathom of how to put that together. So, and just, you know, me and my husband are major foodies. So I have 100% location freedom now to travel wherever I want. We actually have a month scheduled in Europe next year. And I'm just truly grateful every day that my business is providing me the freedom to do that. And I am so excited. I have just a big vision of providing that for other women entrepreneurs too.
Wow, I love that. Oh, I'm so excited for you to have some time to travel. And that was one of the other things you came in with, was really wanting to find more time to spend with your husband. And I love that, because you had your head down, you were doing so much in your business. And now within such a short time frame, you have a trip book, you have other things outside of work that are fulfilling to you and allowing you to either rest, self-care, connect, rejuvenate, all of the things that, especially for a creative like yourself, that probably actually contributes to the creativity and the vision that you bring to your business, which I think sometimes we overlook rest, or not even rest, just overlook being outside of our business and the things that actually we're doing in our lives that have an impact on our visionary or our creative way of thinking that we then bring back into the business. It happens to me all the time. I get away from it and I'm like, whoa. And I come up with all these ideas and I'm like, oh my gosh, like just having a conversation with a friend who has nothing to do with business sparked an idea.
Yes. I'm my own most creative when I step back, I do, like you said, do some self-care, I lay out in my hammock, you know, and that is when I'm like, ooh, I should do a full-on rebrand, you know, like, or something like that. That's where all of the inspiration comes. And that is such a good point. Very, very true.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for being here with me today, Alicia. And for those listening, where can we connect with you after this podcast?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram, ESCO Creative Design. My website is escocreative.com. And I would love to just connect with everybody who's listened to the podcast for sure.
Amazing. I know you have a guide for our listeners. Yeah,
I do. So I created just an attract and captivate guide. So it really helps hone in on all of those questions that really helped me create my avatar for ESCO. It helps me really hone in on all of the values, where my ideal client shop, where they hang out. So I've created a little bit of a guide just to help kind of get those wheels turning and a checklist on my top five items to look at for your website. So this applies to service-based business, e-commerce businesses, whatever it might be, just to kind of help get that momentum flowing.
Amazing. I'll make sure that's included in the show notes. I know that was escocreative.com/guide, and we'll include that for everybody listening. So again, thank you for being here today, Alicia.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Amazing. And thank you for everybody for tuning in to another episode of the Freedom Filled Life podcast. I'm your host, Shay, and I'll see you in the next episode.